Hey y'all, and welcome back to another episode of Murder Moses. It's another episode of Just Ruby with our guest star coming back, Alex.
Hello. Ooh. I really don't think it should count as Just Ruby if I'm here.
I know it is your second like, time, so it's like back by Ruby popular demand.
You should call it Ruby and Friends.
Ruby and Friends. That'll be my special episode names. Ruby and Friends. I love the jingle. So, what are you drinking?
I am drinking a Paloma.
A what?
A Paloma. So, tequila, lime, and then grapefruit juice.
Wow.
It's like my new summer drink right now. I had too many Bud Seltzers. Like I had, I mean, it should be illegal how many I've had over the last year. So can't do those anymore. Drank myself, you know, couldn't do it anymore. Tried all the other brands, didn't really like them. So switched back to beer. And now I'm doing the Palomas because those ice drinks, you know, those ice seltzers.
Mm-hmm.
You can get pink grapefruit as one of the flavors. So I bought that and put it in instead of regular grapefruit juice. So it's like zero calories.
Wow. We love so a little
smart. We smart drunk.
We're
doing smart drunk.
It looks quite refreshing.
It very much is. It's just like citrus all day. And I made mine how I usually do with like double shot, and even my mom took a sip and was like, oh, this is delicious. So
it even psyched her out.
That's
dangerous.
I'm gonna get her this summer. She's gonna end up drowning in the pool because I'm making drinks for her.
You have to get her arm floaties.
Water wings.
Oh my gosh. Well, I'm bringing back my oldie but goodie, Coke and Malibu. We missed her. We missed her.
That's a classic.
It always makes me feel like I'm on an island somewhere away from the human race.
I went to watch the fight last night, and they had soaked cherries, like the fresh cherries you buy from the store, in dark Malibu.
Ooh.
And so we were eating those, and they were like spiked cherries, and it was very odd. It was something I had never, like, I'd done, you know, spiked strawberries or watermelon, things like that, but never cherries and never with Malibu. So it's quite interesting, but still very good.
I'm gonna have to try that because that sounds way too good. Okay.
Do it.
Did anything interesting or exciting happen to you this week? Working for the man.
Oh my gosh, my phone was having a fit. Not much. We've just been laying out all weekend, just enjoying the sun. Yeah. Now that it's finally out and like hopefully staying out. But then again, we apparently had a storm last night that I slept through. That and my floaty was like in the corner of the yard because we didn't take it out of the pool. But
yes, that storm was so random. Our neighbors are redoing their fence, and they had like a little tent kind of thing over the area they were working. And I woke up from the storm and literally heard like the tent being blown, and I was like,
fly over the
I was
fence.
Like, oh no, like, but I was like, I hope it doesn't fly into like someone else's like house or just like flies away. And then this morning I saw it back in their yard, but it was like completely ripped up and like broken. I was
no. I mean, yeah, had a year when we lived in Prosper, we had a year where our trampoline flew across our backyard and destroyed the neighbor's like wooden play equipment. It was horrific. It was just piles of wood and just metal pieces from the damn trampoline.
My gosh. But that's why they say they're like, the debris is the thing that kills people and the storms, tornadoes, all of that. You just never know what's going to take you out.
Yeah, I just have flashbacks to Twister when that, like,
oh God,
that satellite pole comes through the, you know, windshield and just like impales that guy over and over again. That's all I think about.
My thing is, like, if you were, you know, born and raised in Texas, like, you saw Twister once and that's the only time you ever needed to watch it, because then the rest of your life is Twister, and so you just don't want to keep watching that. I've seen it once, you know, great movie, but like, I've never wanted to watch it again because no, it's too close to home.
We had one back when we were in elementary school, Zach and I, at Kurtzinger in Frisco. There was like a tornado warning, and my mom came to the school to pick us up. Zach, of course, is two grades lower than me, so he was the younger one, and she was worried about him. So she went to find him in the bathroom, and he's like having a party with all of his buddies, like loving that they're hanging out in the bathroom, you know, just living it up. And then by the time she got to me, I'm just breaking down. I'm just sobbing in this bathroom, 2 years older than him. He's having a party. I'm sobbing. She's like, well, damn, okay, I guess I should have got you first. I'm in a bathroom. Like, nothing was going on. But it was the whole, all the adults freaking out, shoving us in the bathroom. I think it was just all.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, this is where I die. 2 years old, I'm like, this is how I die.
Oh, no, but that's
okay. Why. Not 2 years old. I'm sorry. Second grade. This is how I die.
But this is how I die. But no, that is literally how I was and still am with tornadoes. Like, I love seeing all the memes where it makes fun of how, you know, we were trained for like tornado like drills to get out in the middle of the hallway, get on your freaking like knees, and then put your hands in the back of your head. Like, that's going to save us. Are you fucking kidding me? Like, that was drilled into our head. Like, that will save our life.
Yeah. Anytime there's a storm, anytime there's hail or just like intense thunder, rain, I'm absolutely convinced my window is going to bust open. And in my head, I'm doing like a mental checklist, like, okay, window breaks, it's a hurricane, what are you grabbing? And I'm like, okay, I'm going to run in my room, or, you know, run in my office. I'm going to grab my laptop. I'm going to grab my I'm going to grab my big external storage, because it's got all the photos I've ever taken in it. You know, I'm grabbing that. I'm grabbing my cat, grabbing my phone. Like, if I have enough room, I'll grab my like sentimental memory boxes. Just throw them. And then I'm heading downstairs to wake my fucking mom up, because she's probably got headphones in and has no idea what's going on. Make sure she gets in there, and then I'll grab the dogs last. They'll be fine. They'll be fine.
Yeah, they'll be chasing after you anyway. Yeah.
They don't sleep in the cage anymore. So they'll be like hiding somewhere anyway.
Perfect. We love that. We love the plan.
Or Groot will be like, you know, have jumped out a busted window, and he'll be in the yard like barking at the tornado.
Yeah, probably. That sounds like him. Well, I guess we shall start with our murder.
Dun, dun. What kind of moidoy are we going to learn about?
Well, this one's a little sad because it's a little girl murder. So I'm sorry, everyone out there. We got a trigger sad warning. One here today. I mean, all of them are sad, let's be honest, that we talk about here. But whenever it's a child death, it gets a little more sad. Well, especially how this happens and who did it. It's very upsetting. So picture this. It's 1990. So it was June.
I'm sorry. I wasn't ready for us to like just really jump into it and get going.
Here we go. We are diving head first.
Okay. I'm pulling it together. I'm in it.
So it was June 15th of 1990, and Linda Wallace, whose mom returned home from work in Anaheim, California. I think that's how I'm saying it. I don't care.
I think it's Anaheim.
Anaheim, way to go. There we go. Because isn't that where Disneyland is?
I feel like when we went to California, like I heard Anaheim.
I think that's where.
But I could be 100% incorrect. But, you know, I'm still going to correct you anyway. Because
it's fine. I'm known on this podcast anyways for like not even like trying like bare minimum with pronouncing things. So it's fine.
You can correct me all you want.
Nah. So she came home and she was met with this horrific scene. And this horrific scene was her 9-year-old daughter, Autumn Wallace, was face down in a puddle of her own blood on the bathroom floor. Autumn had been home alone after school waiting for her older sister to return from school. And her mom had returned from work, so that's what happened. The home had been ransacked and a number of items had been stolen. Autumn had been stabbed a total of 57 times and died alone on the bathroom floor. So this 9-year-old girl was stabbed 57 times.
What 9-year-old is like fighting you hard enough to where you have to stab her 57 times? I mean, my goddaughter's about to be 8, does martial arts, but I still think like 2 stabs and she'd be done.
Yeah. but 57 times. Yeah. That's what I think. Like 57 times. I'm like, that covers like front and back, like of like a small 9-year-old. Like that's like, so just,
that's like Lizzie Borden stuff.
It's awesome. Oh my God. I meant to say awful. I almost said awesome.
That's awesome.
Oh no. I kind of mixed them together like in Mean Girls when she says gruel, when she meant to say like gray or cool. Okay. Anyways, so English. So the investigators said that there was no evidence of forced entry. So that was leading them to speculate that Autumn may have known who her killer was. So they set up a command post outside their house as forensic experts, you know, were coming in, you know, looking at the blood and all the things. They were using a laser detection system, which seeks out fingerprints and clothing fibers. According to neighbors, nobody heard like anything suspicious that afternoon. So on June 23rd, they had her funeral. And, you know, everyone, of course, was saying like how much of a sweet girl she was. And it's just like horrific that this happened. And, you know, the community's in shock. So towards the end of the month, there was an unexpected twist in the case when it was announced that somebody who knew the Wallace family had been arrested for her murder. So it was 18-year-old Maria Del Rosio Alfaro. She had been identified as a suspect when her fingerprints were found in blood throughout the home. She was a friend of Autumn's older sister and had visited the home several times. So it would soon enough be revealed what?
I had my money on the older sister. In my head, I was thinking the older sister the whole time. I was like, you know, she knows the house. You know, what stranger is going to stab someone 57 times? Like, that seems like sibling rivalry. Well,
especially if, like, if it was just a random intruder coming to, like, steal stuff, they would have just been
And it wasn't, because they said there was no forced entry. So like she let them in. So I'm assuming it's the older sister coming home from school. And then she's like, you know, you stole my Barbie too many times or some shit and stabbed her 57 times.
Yeah. I mean, you were close. You were close.
Close enough.
So it was soon revealed that after she was arrested, she had made a full confession to the murder. So she apparently, Maria, had a troubled childhood, which resulted in her developing a drug addiction and selling sex at just 12 years old. That helped fund her addiction for drugs. She confessed that she had arrived at the Wallace's house that afternoon to steal items, which she could then sell and purchase drugs. And she had already taken drugs twice that day and needed money for more. And so, so she said that she showed up at their house. And when Autumn answered, she asked if she could use the bathroom. And since Autumn knew her as like her sister's friend, she opened the door and let her in. So before she knocked on the door, Otto had been playing with crayons and scissors. So she was just minding her business. According to Maria, she didn't expect Autumn to be home, and she knew that after stealing the items, Autumn would be able to identify her. So she said that she lifted a knife from the kitchen before proceeding to the bathroom. She then lured Autumn to the bathroom by asking her to help clean her eyelash curler. Here, that's where she stabbed Autumn a total of 57 times. All the stuff that she ended up stealing only totaled for an amount of $250. So she stabbed this little girl 57 times, killing her for $250.
I straight up thought you were going to tell me that she stabbed this girl with like her own safety scissors, like, or, you know, those construction paper.
I thought that's where that was leading to when I first.
Like, why did they mention the scissors?
I know. When I first was reading through it, I was like, oh my gosh, like that's, but then they were like knife. And I was like, why are you like.
And that would account for how many stabs, because, you know, you stab the scissors in and it's like, well, if you have them open, it's two knives, you know?
Yeah.
But then that wouldn't count for the odd number, but.
Yeah. But yeah.
Drugs and prostitution at 12.
Yeah.
Damn.
It's sad. So Maria went to trial on first degree murder charges. The prosecution announced that they would be seeking the death penalty against her. If I could show you a picture of her. Well, she was
12. I thought it was just juvie.
Well, she was 18 at this time. So that was like the story with the 12 was kind of like showing like that was her childhood and why she's like addicted to drugs and like, all like messed up.
So when she killed her, she was actually older.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought you were saying that she was like 12 when she killed her.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
No. So, good. Sorry to clear up anything, everyone. But yeah. So during the opening statements of the murder trial, the deputy district attorney held up, you know, graphic images and stuff from the crime scene and gave the details for everyone, and said that after leaving Autumn bleeding to death, Maria methodically went through the house looting items to support her drug addiction. And so then Maria's defense attorney, however, provided a different version of events, saying that even though like Maria, she initially confessed to everything, she was now claiming that she had been forced to partake in the murder, saying that she had been in the home with a man that she identified just as Beto. And she claimed that he forced her to stab Autumn a couple of times before he actually killed her. She also claimed that she could not identify the mystery man out of fear that he would seek revenge on her children. Because she had children. Evidence was presented, however, which showed that the only two people present on the crime scene were Maria and Autumn. So the jury deliberated for less than 4 hours before finding her guilty of murder. They felt as though the evidence presented against her was obviously overwhelming. It was like, hey, that's you. There was also forensic evidence as well as videotape confession, obviously, that was like, okay, you obviously said this first, so yeah, no, sis, you got it all twisted. So it would now be up to that same jury to recommend whether she be sentenced to life imprisonment or death. So during the sentencing phase, testimony about her life was presented in her defense to save her life, you know, that she dropped out of school, was pregnant by 14 years old. She stole money from her mother and grandmother before, you know, selling sex to pay for all of that kind of stuff, and did like 50 daily injections of cocaine and heroin. Her defense would cite childhood friends who knew her as a gentle girl and said that she had to try to give up drugs, but had been unsuccessful and all this stuff. Her mother said that she had often searched the streets at night and chased after her daughter in a losing tug of war with drug addiction. And she said that just a few days before Autumn was murdered, she had begged her to clean her life up. So the prosecutor, on the other hand, said that the murder supported a death sentence, stating, "Sometimes the brutal nature of an act speaks for itself." So he didn't call on any witnesses to testify, but simply held up an enlarged photograph of Autumn after she had been murdered, like just held up, like her just like, no, nah,
this well is. Okay, one, at one point you said that she left her bleeding out to steal things from the house, which, like, if she got stabbed 57 times, she was already dead. There's no way she was, like, still laying there awake, bleeding out. Like, she was dead. She was dead and gone after, like, 25, probably.
I would say maybe, like,
at that point, it was just, like, tenderizing. She was, just, like, tenderizing her.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, damn. Could you imagine being a mom and, like, your daughter's 12 years old and you're out trying to find her on a corner? Wondering if she's one with a guy or like two shooting up.
Yeah.
I mean, damn. I'm trying to think of what I was doing at 12.
Not that, I'll tell you that.
I was wearing like knee-high socks.
And like nerd glasses.
And nerd, yeah.
Yeah.
That was like my scene kid phase, like 12 years old.
Well, to finish out the story, the jury ultimately sided with the prosecution and sentenced her to death. And as the verdict was read out, she grabbed her defense lawyer's hand in question, like said this, quote, "I can't believe it. Why did they do this?" Outside of court, Autumn's mother, Linda, said, "At least she'll know when it's coming. My daughter didn't." And she currently remains on death row as we speak.
I mean, thinking like big picture, is that someone you want to put back on the streets? For real.
No, it's, I mean, like, damn.
Stabbing a child 57 times. Whoops. Also, I hallucinated. Yeah. There was a man in the apartment with me, you know, a man in the house with me. There's no way.
Mm-mm. She tried it though.
How would he go through the whole house without laying a foot, like a fingerprint down?
Exactly. That's why they were saying they were like, the only forensic evidence was just them, like in the house.
I mean, I guess he could have like just followed her around knowing exactly what she did or was going to do. But even then, there'd have to be like one fingerprint somewhere.
Yeah. So it's upsetting, Jesus. But you know, at least they were able to find, like, figure out who it was. And, but yeah, that's a messed up one. People don't get into drugs. Remember DARE. we all sign those pieces of paper. We promise no drugs and alcohol.
Okay, I signed that for the like color changing pencil.
Oh my god, yes.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
They had that color changing pencil that when you like touched it with your fingers, it would Yeah, I signed it for that pencil.
It's a good trade-off.
Yeah, it was.
Because look at us now.
Look at us now. Just, you know, living the dream.
I love that. Well, to finish out the episode, I have some crazy weird laws from Switzerland.
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 Where's Switzerland?
Switzerland, you know, it's Switzerland.
Where they make that good ass chocolate.
That good chocolate and the Swiss cheese, you know. So let's just start from
laying on me.
You can't ruin the life of your child with a ridiculous name, which I get behind. Switzerland, I get behind it.
So what would count as a ridiculous name?
Like Rudy? Elon Musk's son. Oh. Well, good thing that's not my name. So, yeah, like that, or like let's see, like Prada or something. That's the example they gave in here.
Okay, just today I found this girl on TikTok who like raises ragdoll cats, and they're cute as shit. But the daughter, she had a daughter, and named her daughter Blossom. And I don't know why, but like, that's one of those names that's like, why would you name your child that? But at the same time, I'm like, oh my God, that's so freaking cute. and her name is Pearl.
Oh.
And so she wanted her daughter to have like a similar kind of like sweet little name. And so her freaking, she's just got this baby on the ground, like on a little rolly mat, and her name is Blossom.
Okay, I love that name.
So
though.
Adorable.
I think I love that name.
Right? And everyone in the comments is like, did you name her after the Powerpuff Girls? And it's like, no, you dumbass.
and if?
Yeah, I named my child Mojo Jojo.
Mojo Jojo. this next one, you can't flush a toilet after 10 p.m. in an apartment.
Hmm.
Apparently, it's at the discretion of landlords now, but it's a rule. Because you can.
I mean,
you know,
it could wake up a light sleeper. Maybe. I don't know. Depends on how thin the walls are.
you can't cut your grass on Sundays.
Wait, what?
I feel like that's maybe a Sundays are for resting and being peaceful. If you wake me up at 7:30 on a Sunday because you're mowing your fucking lawn, like we're gonna have a problem. 911.
You know what? I can relate to that. Our mowers used to come on Tuesdays and now they're coming Saturday mornings. And I'm like laying in bed hungover and at 8 a.m. these motherfuckers are edging and weeding and doing all this shit. I'm like, please, please stop.
Like, please don't.
Please stop right now.
Yep. So I can get behind that. You can't hike naked.
That's just for safety reasons. That's
you can't ski while reciting poetry. So don't try and be trying to catch a date on the slopes, because
could you imagine just like, you know, skiing, you're just living your life skiing and some guy is like just speeds past you going, where art thou, and then it just fades into like the distance.
Yep.
One fish, two fish.
Three.
One fish. Red fish.
You must fear nuclear doom. I guess every house in Switzerland has to have or have access to a nuclear shelter.
Who doesn't fear nuclear doom?
I talk about this with Zach way too much because I'm like, do you realize I'm trusting some fragile ass men in all these countries to not just want to press a fucking button and completely blow up the world? I'm supposed to trust every single day of my life.
What is that movie that's they're in a bomb shelter and it's got Christopher Walken and it's got damn it, the live action Tarzan.
Alexander Skarsgård?
Near.
What do you mean live action Tarzan?
Live action Tarzan.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
Back in the day. I was like,
near. Like from the 90s.
Okay, well, now I'm going to look up Christopher Walken movies.
Yeah, they're in like a bomb shelter, but it wasn't even a bomb.
Are they in the bomb shelter the whole movie?
Yeah, essentially. It was like a plane crash, but they thought it was a bomb. So they got in the shelter and they've been in the shelter for like 20 years. Like homeboy's 30 now.
Oh, wow.
And like for his entire life, like for 20 years, he's living in this damn bomb shelter. And then he comes up out of it. And he meets a girl.
I don't know. You need to look it up. Because I don't know.
Damn, I cannot think of it. Who's that guy? I want to say Ben Stiller, and that's like completely not accurate. It's fucking not him, but Frasier. Frasier is the last name.
Brendan Fraser from The Mummy?
Yes, 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 yes. There we go. Brendan Fraser.
Oh my God, you're thinking about George of the Jungle.
That's the same fucking thing.
No, it's not. Okay.
Okay, if he's wearing a damn, I want to say leotard, and that's not right. Loincloth. If he's wearing a loincloth, it's essentially Tarzan.
Nope.
Brendan Fraser and Christopher Walken, and they're in a bomb shelter. You have to be able to find that. Just Google Brendan Fraser and Christopher Walken in bomb shelter.
And Chris. Blast from the Past? I don't know. It's all it's showing is Blast from the Past.
Is that it?
It doesn't sound like a very sheltery movie.
Does it have, like it is, because he comes out and like,
does it have Alicia Silverstone in it?
Is that the girl from Clueless?
Yes.
Then yes.
Okay, mm-hmm. It's yes. Yeah, so it. Folks, it is Blast from the Past.
So yeah.
So yeah, that's that.
I don't know how we got here. My mom is gone, and I don't know how we got on this subject.
This is why Murder Moses is the fun podcast, because we just slowly get drunk. How did we get here? In Switzerland.
Switzerland, they have to have bomb shelters.
Yes.
Yeah, so they were prepared, but it was a plane crash instead of a bomb. And then they were underground for like 20 years and started running out of things. And I think the mom like sent him up for alcohol. She was like fed up living underground.
I'm done. Well.
And then he went up there and it was just a bunch of homeless people, and he got scared and then went back down. But he ends up meeting Alicia, and things get better for him.
Okay. I'm going to have to watch it.
Out of the ground. It's quite good.
I'll have to watch it.
But now I need to build a bomb shelter.
Yep, we all do. You hear that, folks? Start gathering.
At this point, it needs to be like 100 feet deep. Like there needs to be a damn elevator to get down to it.
Oh, for sure.
Because all the bombs they have now, I swear to God, will just like melt the whole surface.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Trusting these weak men, I can't do it. Well, thanks for listening to another special episode of Ruby and Friends. Thanks for being another guest again, Alex.
Hopefully these people have connected the dots that like I'm Zach's sister, and so when I talk about Zach, like they understand, but maybe not.
You know, I mean, I think you
said, I think you said sister-in-law last time.
I did. I introduced my sister-in-law. Okay.
So if they didn't listen to that one, now they know. I don't just happen to know another Zach.
She is talking about the Zach that's talked about on this podcast. Amazing.
We're related.
Well, y'all know what to do. Like, subscribe, listen to us, tell your family, friends, enemies, lovers, everyone, to do all of the above. And we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye. Bye.